Genesis, please. Genesis in chapter 2. Genesis in chapter 2. I would like to try and continue the thought of daily, really. We did mention it this morning from Acts 2. They continued daily. This fellowship daily. They were brought into daily favour. So there is this theme in the scripture, I think, that we could build around that word. I'll try and interest you in that this afternoon. Genesis chapter 2. Now, not all of these readings will have the word daily in them, but if they don't, I think there's a clear implication of that. So Genesis in chapter 2, please, and I just trust you know the context. I don't really like reading out of context, but just for the sake of the ministry and the time, we pick out the verses. So Genesis 2 and 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, chapter 3 and 2, we will get Eve's rendition of this. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent carries on then. And verse 21, please, of chapter 3. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, Genesis 50, please. Genesis chapter 50. The other thought, just so it ties together in your mind, is forgiveness. Hopefully that will become clear. Genesis 50 then, in verse 15. This is, of course, Joseph and his brethren. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And you can see a little bit of Jacob coming out there, really, can't you? Because they start with, forgive the trespass of thy brethren, and they will escalate it to say, forgive the servants of thy God. And it seems to be that they had learned something of Jacob and how to get their point across. But anyway, that's just by the way. Exodus, please, in chapter 16. Of course, it was genuine. It was very genuine because then Joseph wept. He wept at the Lord Jesus wept, didn't he? And Joseph wept on the occasion of the forgiveness of his brethren. Trust we can mention something about that as well. Exodus 16, please, and verse 5. Just again, a little out of context, so forgive me for that, but. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So that was an imperative, twice as much. Now, New Testament, please, Matthew in chapter 6. Just about there. Matthew 6, please, and verse 11. Give us this day, this is in the context of asking to pray and teaching to pray. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors, or we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, and so on. And then Revelation 2, please. Revelation 2 and verse 7, writing to Ephesus, which we mentioned this morning. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So there's a plurality there. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this is the second eating of the tree, is it? Tree of life. And then the verse 17 of the same chapter, the letter to Pergamos, verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, and so on. So we're eating of the hidden manna. Mm. Now, think about Genesis in a moment. We were talking about this morning about daily, and what's interesting to me is that Christianity is a daily occupation, at least it should be. And I think you'd agree with me that the scripture talks about morning sacrifice and evening sacrifice and morning blessings and waking up each morning and knowing something of fellowship with God. It seems to me that Christianity is a daily effort. It ought to be our daily occupation. And I was mentioning this morning the meaning of daily. That's not a very exciting meaning. It means what it says. It's on a daily basis. It has the idea of space and time. It has the idea of being ongoing. Christianity is ongoing. It's every day. It's got the idea of part of the root is these things just interest me. I hope they interest you. But part of the meaning is subsistence, like the subsistent farmer. We don't have subsistent farming in Australia. We have big agriculture, don't we? But the subsistent farmer, he just grows what he needs. He feeds off that. And he does it every day. He gathers daily, he grows daily, and he gets nutriment daily. That's what he lives off. And it's day after day. And so I just got thinking about this and got off my computer and got a pencil and a piece of paper, and I thought, I'm going to write these down. I don't do much writing now. But what is it to be a Christian, dear saint, if someone really asked you? I think it's important. It came up when I was very young and I started teaching, which is what left that down, but it's over 30 years ago. And I was in a staff room, and probably my first or second year, something like that. And it was an election year, and the election was on. It was being asked about voting, which I don't vote. I'll share that with you. I'm not putting my views on you, but I don't care if you know it or not. That's just the view I've taken. And of course, I wasn't voting, so. But saying I was a Christian wasn't enough of an answer for them. So I said this. I said, I'm a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what made the difference. So we want to talk about daily Christianity, the daily gathering, the daily feeding, and I hope I can get to daily forgiveness. They go together in God's word. But Christianity, dear saint, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you speak about him, you just call him that, won't you? You just call him that. You could say Jesus, but you'd be like Eve. She changed the name of God. We'll get that in a minute if I can. But if you go with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you identify with him, that was the end of the conversation, by the way, in the staff room. And I thought that was an important milestone for me at a young age, to have a little bit of courage and to identify yourself with the person of the Lord Jesus. But I thought of Christianity like this. You know, it's not just what we do and what we don't do, what we say and don't say, but it's who we are, isn't it? On a daily basis, who and what we are. It ought to be what we are and how we think and behave first thing in the morning. The final thing at night, when the joys come, and the sorrows come, and they will come. What it is when the blessings flow, but when the failures seem to triumph. What are you? I am a believer on the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian. It's what we are when happiness abounds. These are just my thoughts. I hope you agree with them and get help out of them. But it's what we are when there's little else but pain and suffering. And sometimes that's also true on a daily basis. But we are believers. We have a great resource at God's right hand. It's not a set of rules. It's not legalism that may be our biggest enemy. Legalism, the deadness of it. When you're claiming a living, blessed man of Calvary in your midst, and yet it's just we're swamped by legalism and men's legal practice. It's not religion, we know that. It's not yearly, it's not monthly, and it's not weekly. Some meetings may be weekly, but Christianity, dear friend, if I use the cliche, is 24/7. It's just every moment of every day, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trusting Christ. It's submitting to Christ. It's following Christ. These are my thoughts. It's like Philippians 2. It's letting Christ form in you. Let this mind be in you. You don't want my mind in you. That would be the last thing you'd want. You want his mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we know the rest of Philippians there. It's a work, dear saint, going on in you. Do you know that? God is doing a work in that body. That body is letting you down, very likely, like mine is. God's not worried about that. He's got something new coming. But he's doing the work of Christianity in you. There's a work going on in us, being confident, says the apostle, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. It's a certainty. It's worth going in for, isn't it? Daily Christianity. Listen to Colossians. I just love this short statement. Christ in you. Just pause for a minute. Do you understand that? Do you understand the weight of that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christianity is the daily rejoicing in these things. It has another side. Reckon this ye yourselves to be dead indeed under sin. Does it mean sin won't come along? It certainly does not. It will come along. But dear saints, sometimes, and you may have to do this out loud, you might have to go, I'm dead for that. And something else will come along. Something in your vision, I'm dead to that. Something in your hearing, some place to go, some invitation, I'm dead to that. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How are we going to do that? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's a daily occupation. I've only got about another hour and a half to go. So I'll just mention these headings, and there's no way I'm going to get through all this, but I don't know, there's some people like to write things down. If it's worthy to be written down, I'll give you some headings, and that may be something for another time. But there are daily things in relation to the Lord Jesus, just to start with that. But I want to try and get to practical Christianity and daily feeding and forgiveness. That would be the rest of the meeting. But just to mention, from God's side in Matthew 6, there is the daily provision of food and forgiveness. So it starts with God. God provides. Whether you take him up on it, that's another story. But God provides. Give us this day. Asking God, that's what the Lord Jesus said to do. Ask God. Give us this day our daily food and forgive us. Because if I can know the forgiveness of God every day, my dear brother and sister, I've got a chance I'll be able to forgive you and you forgive me. I can't leave God's presence feeding on God's word and then come along and say, well, that's that brother. Can't do that. That doesn't fit. It doesn't work. Why do you think the Lord Jesus brought us to God and he brought us to worship and he brought us to the will of God all in this prayer? And he says, ask God for food and then ask him for forgiveness because you're going to need it. You're going to need the food and you're going to need to learn how to forgive. Why? Because it's just daily Christianity. But I put it like this to get my alliteration working, if that's helpful. There's daily food, daily forgiveness, Matthew 6. Psalm 68, I know we didn't get to these readings, but in Psalm 68, it's daily funds, I've called it. So this is the benefits and blessings. They're every day. They're every day on offer, dear saint. Daily funds in your account from God. There's daily felicity in Proverbs chapter 8. The effulgence of Christ, the fullness is the fullness of joy every day. God just wants you to know, this is my son. And in him, like no other, I have found all my delight. And then the proverb says it just finds it every day. Are you finding, dear saint, I want to be very serious to your heart just now. Are you finding daily delight in the Lord Jesus? I'm sure you would want to find. I'm sure you, in your heart, you want that. If you have life in here, it's a natural response to life. I have to get to know him. If he's God's daily delight, I wonder what he'll be to me. If he can impress the Father. If the Father finds this fullness of joy in the man. Imagine what I'm going to find. Daily, daily delight. This is in relation to the Lord Jesus here. He had daily fortitude as the Saviour. What I mean by that is, He was daily in the temple. He didn't miss a day. That's how important the word of God was to him. He didn't say to those men, I think we'll go fishing today. We don't really need that meeting. We'll have another one next week. Four out of five is not bad. No, he said to them, I sat daily. Every day, he said. Every day I was there. Every day is with you in the word of God, the fortitude of the Saviour. And then, of course, Acts 2, we're thinking about this morning, is daily formation. The Lord is forming his church. He's doing it today. We're not alone. God is busy and he's building up the numbers and God is saving daily. God's will go ahead. His purposes are unchallengeable. They're unstoppable. And he's daily forming the church. So there's some daily things in relation to heaven. I haven't got my glasses on, so I can't see the clock at all. So that might be useful. There's things, just give you some headings, and I'll try and get back to the top one. There's also daily, this is in relation to the Christian now, there's daily feeding and forgiveness in relation to the Christian. I know that you'd be aware of that. We read it. It's the same verses in Matthew 6. We'll come back to that and try and expand it, but just give you the other ones which I won't be able to get to. But there is daily forfeit. This is, we take up the cross. Imagine that. Paul's able to say, take up the cross daily. You do know what a cross is. You know what it means, don't you? The Lord Jesus knew what it meant. He said, I'm going to be lifted up. And he even told Peter, you're going to be lifted up too, and you're going to go somewhere you don't want to go. It's a cross. Now we're told, just do that daily. The daily identification with the man of Calvary. That'll test you. That'll test you, won't it? And all that that means. And that's another, perhaps another message. I won't get into that too far, but it's a daily forfeit, do you say? Not a daily crown, a daily cross. But there's daily fellowship. Lovely to express fellowship with the saints in a wide variety of ways. Daily fellowship, assembly fellowship. There's, when you're in the assembly permanently, really. You can't just join something and then unjoin. We're talking about this morning, God adds. You're going to be in the business of subtracting when God has added. God has saved you. He saw you baptized and put you into something. And he wants you to be something. He wants this fellowship to be rich and reflective of his truth. And for some reason, certain people think they can subtract from that. So when God's busy adding, you ought to be busy adding. Adding to the daily fellowship. There's daily, some of these are maybe a stretch, but you'll have to bear with me. There's daily familiarity, I've called it. So there's a sense of family. You know, they move from house to house. What did they do that for? Well, they had all things common. They got rid of the class. And they had all things common. And there was a sense of family. Lovely to express fellowship from your home. I was told if you're doing it, I'm not sure what your practice and all of that, but I was given what I thought was good advice one time, And that is, if you're having another family in your home, just have one family. Don't have this family, and then you'll this one, and another, and there's others left out. Now, that might mean very much. I don't want to read too much into that, but I thought when I was told that, when we were getting married, I thought that was good advice. If you don't have fellowship with a family, make it with that family. And then you have another family. Otherwise, there could be partiality, and I think that's a danger. But anyway, I'll let you just think about that. We read this morning, daily favour. God brought the saints into favour, daily favour, just when it was needed, that they could progress with their Christian life. So God can open doors. You're worried about that work friend or a colleague or something else, and you can't get close to them. Pray about it, because God can bring you into favour with that person. And at the right moment, you can express something of the truth of God to them. Daily favour. And then there is something more practical, just to finish and get back to the forgiveness and the feeding. There's daily faithfulness. Remember when they took the man, every day they took that man to the beautiful gate. I don't know if the gate was beautiful, it was just called beautiful. It might have been beautiful, that was its name. And they took him to the gate, and every day they laid that lame man there. Why'd they do that? Because of their faithfulness. Every day they took him away, I imagine. God picked him up, brought him back every day. Every day until the apostles came. They were faithful. Daily faithfulness in sometimes the simplest things. All that God wanted them to do was take the man from there and put him there every day. That's all they did. They took him from where he was and they put him at the gate. Daily faithfulness in the smallest of things. And then one day walked away home himself. Yeah. So anyway, that's a few headings that may be maybe of help. I suppose I should, Jack, if I'm going to finish, have I? I'll just mention a few things and try not to prolong. Just a few things about daily food and forgiveness. I'll have to truncate it, but draw your attention to the eating. They ate from the tree. They were commanded to do that. So it's God's intention to feed. God wants to feed you. And that's why he put the tree there. And we could think about the forgiveness around that. It didn't take long. Genesis chapter 3 implies forgiveness. They sinned, you know what happened. And God was swift. God was quick with forgiveness. It wasn't like men sometimes are, very slow. You know, it took till chapter 50 to read about forgiveness in Genesis. But when we do read, it's men forgiving men. It's brethren forgiving brethren, all because of what the Father said. Don't be slow to forgive, dear saints. Be swift to forgive. Live your life. Daily Christianity is a spirit of prayerfulness, and it's a spirit of forgiveness. We've got to live in the spirit of that. And God quickly shed innocent blood. It wasn't righteous blood, it was innocent blood. Only the Lord Jesus had righteous blood and precious blood, but nevertheless, innocence was slain and they were clothed, and God forgave, and he did it swiftly. But it took a long time before we read men forgiving men, but it's lovely that it was brethren forgiving brethren. We could talk about the restoration of peace. That's what forgiveness does, but you can't have peace without righteousness. I can't develop that more. But God commands to eat, but he commands not to eat. He said, oh, you can have all these trees. There was abundance of them. Eve drew attention to the locality of the tree. She said, it's just that one in the middle. She didn't say it was a tree of life. She'd already started the slippery road down, and she was changing what God said. She added to it. We can't even touch the thing. Well, God didn't say that. We've got to be very careful, dear saint, that we're not altering God's word. We're not four mistakes. I'll mention quickly. Sorry, this sounds a bit rushed, but she omitted, she restricted God's word, she added, she altered, and finally she changed his name. It's not to pick on Eve. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to highlight the truth of the scripture, that when you entertain anything other than God's word, it's a downward slope. And we learned that from the very first man and woman. And down she went, and she got outside of the word of God. So easy to do, it seems. so easy to step outside the Word of God. And that's why we need good teaching, and we need to feed. We can think of the manna. Maybe this is another time, but just to point out the Lord from heaven, there was the manna and the quails and the corn, and God just had something for them every step of the way. And there was the manna, and I'll have to finish. And I was laying on the dew. You ever looked up dew? You know what dew is. There's so much in Israel, apparently as good as rain, I don't know. But the dew came down, and the root meaning of dew is the inner thoughts. So what came down from heaven? Genesis 27, we first read of it. God sent dew from heaven. It's the innermost thoughts coming down. And it means covering. And upon that dew, God put his precious manna. It was separate from the world. It wasn't mixed with the earth. It wasn't earthy. It was from heaven. It was God's bread. It wasn't their bread. They didn't make it. God put the dew out, and then he rested that manna ever so gently on the dew. And the Lord Jesus knew what it was to have his locks wet with the dew of heaven, nightly in fellowship with his God. And he put the manna on the dew. And then God said, now go and get it. Moses said, there it is. He pointed them, but they had to gather. And on one day, dear saint, God said, you've got to have twice as much. Twice as much. There'll be nothing for tomorrow. It was the Sabbath day. Yes, sometimes, dear saint, I'll have to finish. I know there's a little more, but we can think about the tree and all of that. But sometimes God wants you to gather more than you might be gathering. Sometimes he's going to need you to spend a little longer. You know, the rest of Matthew 6 is fasting. Go without a little bit of food. Why? Because God wants you to gather more. Gather. Moses pointed it out. But they gathered. Food and forgiveness go together. Practical, daily Christianity. Feeding off God's word. You'll need time for it. You'll need a thirst for it. God will give you those things if you really go after it. And when you...
We've got another 5 minutes, brother.
Oh, it's all right. Well, he's a head man, right? I know, truly, I'll just finish up. But just to draw your attention to... you should have said that 5 minutes ago. it's all right. It was fresh every day, and we talked about the dew, and it was consecrated. They put it in a pot. God said, it's so important to me. Put it in a golden pot, and the saints can feed on it when they get to heaven. I know the hidden manna has some other truths in there, but it's a lovely thought, isn't it? God just took it to heaven. It's inside the ark. It was right there along the side, the unbroken tablets, and the bud, the rod that budded, the resurrection life. It was there, and the manna was there, and the golden censer was there, the fragrance of it. This is our Lord Jesus, the fragrant man, the man with eternal life, the righteous man, the man of who resides within him unbroken law. First tablet smashed at the very sign of the noise in the camp. One man said, it's a war. Moses said, no, it's not. It's frivolity. The saints have gone off track already. The broken law. But in the ark, there was the fragrance. There was life. There was righteousness. And that pot was sustenance. Are you being sustained, dear saint, by God's word today? He intends for that to happen. He intends for it to be daily. I fear that one of our difficulties is, as we move on in fellowship, is that we don't know the scriptures. We need to know the scriptures better. We can't leave it to a few of these old men who've been doing it for a while. Young men, you need to know the word of God. I'm not saying you have to be up here and doing these sorts of things, but you need to gather the manna from the surface of the dew in your daily experience. You need to hear the voice of God's gracious Holy Spirit just lifting out the truth of God from the Word of God. It'll sustain you. You won't need normal food at times. It'll be nutriment to you. That's what God intends, and he's laid it up there in heaven just to remind us. He did the same with the tree. He wanted them to eat from that tree. And now he has another tree. There's more manna. and he has more trees. He wants the saints to feed and feed forever, and we can start right now on the infallible Word of God. I'll finish with just with a, I think it's a true story. It's a preacher's story, so you never know if they're quite true or not. But there was a man who visited the Tuam Assembly who had been in Pakistan. He was attending one of the meetings there, the local assembly, there was a biker, a clad biker, you know, typical as we would imagine that type of biker. But this was a saved man, and the preacher was on about drinking the blood of the Lord Jesus and eating his flesh. And I know you know what that means, but this brother went to the biker and worried that he thought we might have been talking about something else, you know, eating flesh and drinking blood. And he was explaining it to that man, and that man said, "You don't need to explain anything. You know, before I was saved, I drank my bike, and I ate my bike. My bike was my life." He said, "But since I got saved, I just own a bike." You see what I'm saying to you? Everything just got put in their right place when he got life. Now the scriptures took over. And the word of God took over. That was his nutriment. He was eating and drinking the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. So we trust that it's been a little rush, but we trust it's been some help to the saints. Shall I close in prayer?